History of the Earth. This sound file contains the spoken version of a Wikipedia article on History of the Earth. You are listening to the second part, which contains Section 3, the Hadean and Archean Eons, including the formation of the Moon, the first continent, oceans and atmosphere, and the origin of life. The second part begins now. History of the Earth. Section 3. The Hadean and Archean Eons. Starting with the Earth's formation by accretion from the first solar nebula 4.54 billion years ago, the first eon in the Earth's history is called the Hadean. It lasted until the Archean Eon, which began about 3.8 billion years ago. The oldest rocks found on Earth date to about 4 billion years ago, and the oldest detrital zircon crystals in some rocks have been dated to about 4.4 billion years ago, close to the formation of the Earth's crust and the Earth itself. Because not much material from this time is preserved, little is known about Hadean times, but scientists hypothesize at an estimated 4.53 billion years ago, shortly after formation of an initial crust, a proto-Earth was impacted by a smaller protoplanet, which ejected part of the mantle and crust into space and created the Moon. During the Hadean, the Earth's surface was under a continuous bombardment by meteorites, and volcanism must have been severe due to the large heat flow and geothermal gradient. The detrital zircon crystals, dated to about 4.4 billion years ago, show evidence of having undergone contact with liquid water, suggesting that the planet already had oceans or seas at that time. From crater counts on other celestial bodies, it is inferred that a period of intense meteorite impacts called the Late Heavy Bombardment began about 4.1 billion years ago and concluded about 3.8 billion years ago at the end of the Hadean. By the beginning of the Archean, the Earth had cooled significantly. It would have been impossible for most present-day life forms to exist due to the composition of the Archean atmosphere, which lacked oxygen and an ozone layer. Nevertheless, it is believed that primordial life began to evolve by the early Archean, with some possible fossil finds dated to about 3.5 billion years ago. Some researchers, however, speculate that life could have begun during the early Hadean as far back as 4.4 billion years ago, surviving the possible late heavy bombardment period in hydrothermal vents below the Earth's surface. 4.52 billion years ago, the Giant Impact Hypothesis. The Earth's relatively large natural satellite, the Moon, is unique. During the Apollo program, rocks from the Moon's surface were brought to Earth. Radiometric dating of these rocks has shown the Moon to be 4.527 billion years old, about 30 to 55 million years younger than other bodies in the solar system. New evidence suggests the Moon formed even later, 4.48 billion years ago, or 70 to 110 million years after the start of the solar system. Another notable feature is the relatively low density of the Moon, which must mean it does not have a large metallic core like all other terrestrial bodies in the solar system. The Moon has a bulk composition closely resembling the Earth's mantle and crust, together without the Earth's core, This has led to the giant impact hypothesis. The idea that the moon was formed during a giant impact of the proto-Earth with another proto-planet by accretion of the material blown off the mantles of the proto-Earth and impactor. The impactor, sometimes called Theia, is thought to have been a little smaller than the current planet Mars. It could have been formed by accretion of matter about 150 million kilometers from the Sun and Earth, at their fourth or fifth Lagrangian point. Its orbit may have been stable at first, but destabilized as Theia's mass increased due to the accretion of matter. Theia oscillated in larger and larger orbits around the Lagrangian point, until it finally collided with Earth about 4.533 billion years ago. Models reveal that when an impactor this size struck the proto-Earth at a low angle and relatively low speed, 8 to 20 kilometers per second, much material from the mantles and crusts of the proto-Earth and the impactor was ejected into space, where much of it stayed in orbit around the Earth. This material would eventually form the moon. However, the metallic cores of the impactor would have sunk through the Earth's mantle to fuse with the Earth's core, depleting the moon of metallic material. The giant impact hypothesis thus explains the moon's abnormal composition. The ejecta in orbit around the Earth could have been condensed into a single body within a couple of weeks. Under the influence of its own gravity, the ejected material became a more spherical body, the moon. The radiometric ages show the Earth existed already for at least 10 million years before the impact, enough time to allow for differentiation of the Earth's primitive mantle and core. Then, when the impact occurred, only material from the mantle was ejected, leaving the Earth's core of heavy siderophile elements untouched. The impact had some important consequences for the young Earth. It released an enormous amount of energy, causing both the Earth and the Moon to be completely molten. Immediately after the impact, the Earth's mantle was vigorously convecting. The surface was a large magma ocean. The planet's first atmosphere must have been completely blown away by the impact. The impact is also thought to have changed Earth's axis to produce the large 23.5% axial tilt that is responsible for the Earth's seasons. A simple ideal model of the planet's origins would have axial tilts of 0% with no recognizable seasons. It may also have sped up Earth's rotations. 4.3 billion years ago. Ocean and atmosphere. Because the Earth lacked an atmosphere immediately after the giant impact, cooling must have occurred quickly. Within 150 million years, a solid crust with a basaltic composition must have formed. The felsic continental crust of today did not yet exist. Within the Earth, further differentiation could only begin when the mantle had at least partly solidified again. Nevertheless, during the early Archean period, about 3 billion years ago, the mantle was still much hotter than today, probably around 1600 degrees Celsius. This means the fraction of partially molten material was still much larger than today. Steam escaped from the crust, and more gases were released by volcanoes, completing the second atmosphere. Additional water was imported by bolide conditions, probably from asteroids ejected from the outer asteroid belt under the influence of the Earth's gravity. influence of Jupiter's gravity. The large amount of water on Earth can never have been produced by volcanism and degassing alone. It is assumed the water was derived from impacting comets that contained ice. But most comets are today in orbits farther away from the Sun than Neptune. Computer simulations show that they were originally far more common in the inner parts of the solar system. However, most of the water on Earth was probably derived from small impacting protoplanets, objects comparable with today's small icy moons of the outer planets. Impacts of these objects could have enriched the terrestrial planets, Mercury, Venus, the Earth, and Mars, with water, carbon dioxide, methane, ammonia, nitrogen, and other volatiles. If all water on Earth was derived from comets alone, millions of comet impacts would be required to support this theory. Computer simulations illustrate that this is not an unreasonable number. As the planet cooled, clouds formed. Rain created the oceans. Recent evidence suggests the oceans may have begun forming by 4.2 billion years ago, or as early as 4.4 billion years ago. In any event, by the start of the Archean Aeon, the Earth was already covered with oceans. The new atmosphere probably contained water vapor, carbon dioxide, nitrogen, and smaller amounts of other gases. As the output of the Sun was only 70% of the current amount, significant amounts of greenhouse gas in the atmosphere most likely prevented the surface water from freezing. Free oxygen would have been bound by hydrogen or minerals on the surface. Volcanic activity was intense, and without an ozone layer to hinder its entry, ultraviolet radiation flooded the surface. 4.0 billion years ago, the first continents. Mantle convection, the process that drives plate tectonics today, is a result of heat flow from the core to the Earth's surface. It involves the creation of rigid tectonic plates at mid-ocean ridges. These plates are destroyed by subduction into the mantle at subduction zones. The inner Earth was warmer during the Aegean and Archean eons, so convection in the mantle must have been faster. While a process similar to present-day plate tectonics did occur, this would have gone faster too. Most geologists believe that during the Aegean and Archean, subduction zones were more common, and therefore tectonic plates were smaller. The initial crust, formed when the Earth's surface first solidified, totally disappeared from a combination of this fast Aegean plate tectonics and the intense impacts of the late heavy bombardment. It is, however, assumed that this crust must have been basaltic in composition, like today's oceanic crust, because little crustal differentiation had yet taken place. The first larger pieces of continental crust, which is a product of differentiation of lighter elements during partial melting of lower crust, appeared at the end of the Aegean about 4.0 billion years ago. What is left of these first small continents are called cratons. These pieces of late Aegean and early Archean crust form the cores around which today's continents grew. The oldest rocks on Earth are found in the North American craton of Canada. They are tonalites from about 4.0 billion years ago. They show traces of metamorphism by high temperature, but also sedimentary grains that have been rounded by erosion during transport of water showing rivers and seas existed then. Cratons consists of primarily two alternating types of terrains. The first are so-called greenstone belts, consisting of low-grade metamorphosed sedimentary rocks. These greenstones are similar to the sediments today found in oceanic trenches above subduction zones. For this reason, greenstones are sometimes seen as evidence for subduction during the Archean. The second type is a complex of felsic magmatic rocks. These rocks are mostly tonalite, trondhjemite, or granodiorite, types of rock similar in composition to granite. Hence, such terrains are called TTG terrains. TTG complexes are seen as the relicts of the first continental crust formed by partial melting in the basalt. The alteration between greenstone belts and TTG complexes is interpreted as a tectonic situation in which small proto-continents are separated by a thorough network of subduction zones. 3.5 billion years ago, life. The details of the origin of life are unknown, but the basic principles have been established. There are two schools of thought about the origin of life. One suggests that organic components arrived on Earth from space, panspermia, while the other argues that they originated on Earth. Nevertheless, both schools suggest similar mechanisms by which life initially arose. If life arose on Earth, the timing of this event is highly speculative. Perhaps it arose around 4 billion years ago. It is possible that, as a result of repeated formation and destruction of oceans during that time period caused by high-energy asteroid bombardment, life may have arisen and been extinguished more than once. In the energetic chemistry of early Earth, a molecule gained the ability to make copies of itself, a replicator. More accurately, it promoted the chemical reactions which produced a copy of itself. The replication was not always accurate. Some copies were slightly different from their parent. If the change destroyed the copying ability of a molecule, the molecule did not produce any copies, and the line, quote, died out, end quote. On the other hand, a few rare changes might have made the molecule replicate faster or better. Those, quote, strains, end quote, would become more numerous and, quote, successful, end quote. This is an early example of evolution on abiotic material. The variations present in matter and molecules, combined with the universal tendency for systems to move toward a lower energy state, allowed for an early method of natural selection. As choice raw materials, food, became depleted, strains which could utilize different materials or perhaps halt the development of other strains and steal their resources became more numerous. The nature of the first replicator is unknown because its function was long since superseded by life's current replicator, DNA. Several models have been proposed explaining how a replicator might have developed. Different replicators have been posited, including organic chemicals such as modern proteins, nucleic acids, phospholipids, crystals, or even quantum systems. There is currently no way to determine whether any of these models closely fits the origin of life on Earth. One of the older theories, one which has been worked out in some detail, will serve as an example of how this might occur. The high energy from volcanoes lightning, and ultraviolet radiation could help drive chemical reactions, producing more complex molecules from simple compounds such as methane and ammonia. Among these were many of the simpler organic compounds, including nucleobases and amino acids, which are the building blocks of life. As the amount and concentration of this, quote, organic soup, end quote, increased, different molecules reacted with one another. Sometimes more complex molecules would result. Perhaps clay provided a framework to collect and concentrate organic material. Certain molecules could speed up a chemical reaction. All this continued for a long time, with reactions occurring at random until, by chance, it produced a replicator molecule. In any case, at some point, the function of the replicator was superseded by DNA. All known life, except some viruses and prions, use DNA as their replicator in an almost identical manner. Modern life has its replicating material packaged inside a cellular membrane. It is easier to understand the origin of the cell membrane than the origin of the replicator, because a cell membrane is made up of phospholipid molecules, which often form a bilayer spontaneously when placed in water. Under certain conditions, many such spheres can be formed. The prevailing theory is that the membrane formed after the replicator, which perhaps by then was RNA, the RNA world hypothesis, along with its replicating apparatus and other biomolecules. Initial protocells may have simply burst when they grew too large. The scattered contents may then have recolonized other, quote, bubbles, end quote. Proteins that stabilized the membrane, or that later assisted in an orderly division, would have promoted the proliferation of those cell lines. RNA is a likely candidate for an early replicator, because it can both store genetic information and catalyze reactions. At some point, DNA took over the genetic storage role from RNA, and proteins known as enzymes took over the catalysis role, leaving RNA to transfer information, synthesize proteins, and regulate the process. There is increasing belief that these early cells evolved in association with undersea volcanic vents known as black smokers, or even hot, deep rocks. It is believed that of this multiplicity of protocells, only one line survived. Current phylogenetic evidence suggests that the last universal common ancestor, or LUCA, lived during the early Archean Aeon, perhaps roughly 3.5 billion years ago. This LUCA cell is the ancestor of all life on Earth today. It was probably a prokaryote possessing a cell membrane and probably ribosomes, but lacking a nucleus or membrane-bound organelles, such as mitochondria or chloroplasts. Like all modern cells, it used DNA as its genetic code, RNA for information transfer and protein synthesis, and enzymes to catalyze reactions. Some scientists believe that instead of a single organism being the last universal common ancestor, there were populations of organisms exchanging genes in lateral gene transfer.
We now come to the end of the spoken article, History of the Earth, Part 2. The next part, part three, contains section 4, the Proterozoic Eon, which deals with the topics of the oxygen revolution, snowball Earth, the emergence of eukaryotes, supercontinents in the Proterozoic, and later Proterozoic climate and life.